Stuck in traffic and need to vent? Dial the fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
Big announcement yesterday by the New York Knicks is that Jalen Brunson is the 36th captain in Knicks history. First captain since the great Lance Thomas in 2018, 2019. If you can name that, in a myriad of different captains over the course of the years. And listen, Brunson's great. He really is. Couple issues, and not, I'm not trying to. He's been an instrument of change. The Knicks come into this year with higher expectations than they've had in decades, Otis. And Brunson is the unquestioned leader of the team. However, the Knicks have not been about, even though he singled himself out by his performance, the Knicks have not been about singling people out.
Right.
They've been about the strength of the team, the defensive toughness, the mentality, the grit, all of that. Maybe it was part of the negotiations why he took, $156.5 million instead of waiting for the $270 that he could have gotten next offseason. That's something, something you don't see in the NBA. I really don't get all that caught up in Brunson being a captain of the Knicks. Yeah. He's the leader of the team. Yeah. I don't understand why the Knicks need to go out of their way, have President Leon Rose, who never meets with the media, go out there and issue a statement talking about how much Jalen Brunson means to the Knicks. Well, we all understand it. We watch the games game in and game out. What's the point of naming him captain?
Yeah, I love that choice of music coming back. The king, you're down with the king. He's the king of New York to a lot of people, that he's the best athlete, the most reputable athlete here. I would argue Aaron Judge, of course, he has to do it in the playoffs. But that's who he is. That's what he has made going into his third season with the New York Knicks. And true, I mean, everybody knows that he's the leader. It almost feels like it's ceremonial. I get it. I don't know. But
why do you need? Who cares who is the captain of the team? I mean, like, do you look at it and say, well, is Jokic the captain of Denver? Or is it Jamal Murray? Mm-hmm. And do you look at the Celtics? Well, who's the captain, Tatum or Brown? I don't even know. I don't care. Michael Jordan with the Chicago Bulls, was he captain? He was the leader of the team. Right. Everything went through Michael Jordan. I don't know if you necessarily needed to name Jalen Brunson. You know, the Knicks haven't won an NBA title since 1973. Mm-hmm. Right? You're not looking at a storied franchise that has epitomized victory and winning in the NBA. This team has the most expectations on it in the last 20 years going into this upcoming season. Brunson unquestionably has been an instrument of change. Why the need when the messaging from the team and from Thibodeau has been strength in numbers? And now all of a sudden I need to have Jalen Brunson be named the cat. And I love Brunson. Yeah. I'm not trying to knock it. He deserves it. Yeah. If that's what you feel that you need to do, or if that was something that was part of the negotiation, I guess. Maybe. Go out there and do it. Well, but do you really care who the hell the captain is of an NBA team?
We saw that with Aaron Judge. It seemed like once he had that career year, got his contract, got to be the captain, that was, who knows, that was the just bestowing that upon him. He is a captain to me. I can say this as a basketball player, former basketball player.
Yeah.
And that was important to me to be a captain. It was important. So it's just a higher level. I think that he would want to be a captain. The Nova Wildcats, they're dominating that franchise and all that stuff. He is the leader, and I think they just put a title on him. I don't necessarily have a problem with it.
I mean, it's not necessarily.
Eddie Curry was a Knick captain.
Yeah, it says a lot.
Steve Francis.
Yeah, the franchise.
The franchise.
Yeah, it was a captain.
But here's a player who was fifth in voting,
in the
MVP voting. He's the number of 40-point games that he's had, the leadership that he provides. Maybe they're trying to change the culture. Maybe they are trying to turn this into a winning atmosphere, and that's part of that.
Well,
you know what I mean?
But they've done that already. Haven't they turned it into, hasn't there been a cultural shift?
I believe
the
Knicks? So. Yeah. I mean, but maybe this is part of it, an extension
of it. But Thibodeau's led the way, right? Leon Rose and Thibodeau see eye to eye. So Rose brings in players.
Dolan is out of the picture now, right?
Right. So supposedly. Rose has brought in players that that feed the system and the mentality of Thibodeau. Mm-hmm. Right? Not every player is going to be able to play for Tom Thibodeau. So he's brought in guys that are grinders, right? Hart is a grinder. DiVincenzo is a grinder. Right. Obviously, Mikal Bridges.
Yep.
Julius Randle, you know, has been, you know, as everyone loves to rip Julius Randle, well, when he's healthy, he goes out there and plays.
More than solid.
And he's really productive, yeah. Right? But people love to hate on Julius Randle. You know, and I get, you know, after the We Here year mm-hmm. and the failure against the Atlanta Hawks that season in the postseason, you know, not everything has gone Randle's way.
Right.
But he was the first guy kind of step toward change and what he was able to take advantage of with this opportunity. And now we'll see what he looks like coming off the shoulder injury, yeah. The dislocation against the Miami Heat last January. I just don't understand why now. Like, we're sitting here in August.
Yeah.
And you need to issue a statement on a Tuesday afternoon or Tuesday morning that the 36th captain in Knick franchise history is now Jalen Brunson as he's sitting there on the Jersey Shore doing his podcast with Josh Hart. I mean, that's it. And I got to get to Josh Hart giving the salute to Brunson. We understand. They do a podcast together. They're going to be at Fanatics Fest this upcoming, a couple weekends from now. Right. They're going to be able to meet and greet him. Nobody doesn't love Jalen Brunson. I love him. I adore him. He's great. You know what also makes him great? He's not the biggest guy in the world.
Yeah.
He doesn't look, he's not like, looks like he's cut from granite.
Yeah.
Like he's not the, you know, so he's a smallish guard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people love to knock him. He's a winner.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he understands what it means to be win. And I don't doubt that he's a leader of the team.
Yeah.
I just didn't understand why he needed to name him captain of the team. Like, I didn't look at it. Like, I wasn't like, it was never a talking point
mm-hmm.
on TV, radio, and the newspaper. Like, Brunson deserves to be captain. Nobody really cares
yeah.
who the captain of the team is.
I think turning it back to Aaron Judge as well, I don't think it was a discussion whether he was going to be the captain or not. But when it happened, it was like, that was fitting to me. You know what I mean? And it's appropriate. And it's
Well, that had to be part of the discussion with Hal.
Yeah, you think so?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hal, other teams are offering me money. By the way, I want to be captain.
I'll give you the C.
Right.
Let me follow Jeets. I didn't have a problem with it. I am a former basketball player, so it was.
So it does mean something.
It does mean something to me. It's not just going out there to rub the basketballs and talk to the officials before the game. No, it's a leadership type thing, and it is. It's affirmation that he's the top player, the most important player, the leader of the team, it wasn't necessarily on a Tuesday morning, but when would have been an appropriate time for him to get named that. I feel
should
it's
have
okay.
done an opening night. Bring out everybody sitting there courtside. By the way, here's our new captain.
or maybe when
the passing of the guard, Lance Thomas.
Or yeah, have Lance there, right? Have court, give pass the torch. But or maybe when he made the decision to take less money, maybe that would that have been appropriate then?
Well, yeah,
because I think that was part of the negotiation.
That had to have been part of the discussions.
Yeah,
I mean they're eternally thankful that he didn't hold out and look for the $270 million next summer.
But
that he took the $156.5 million. It's still a lot of money, but still you don't see that in the NBA. That is trend setting. That is going to be something that would send shockwaves across the landscape in the NBA because you don't see it.
Yeah.
I don't fault guys. Nobody would have faulted Jalen Brunson if he was like, no, I'm going to gamble on myself. I want to make the most amount of money. Nobody was like, people would have been like, yeah, you deserve it. You've earned it. That's great.
Right.
Go out there, maximize your value. Yeah. Nobody would have faulted him. He decided to help out and take a very team-friendly kind mm-hmm. of a deal in this contract extension.
And also set himself up for an even bigger payday a few years later, too. I mean, that's, whew. So again, he's betting on himself, I guess, you know, to make sure that he's healthy, productive, the type of player that will command that contract down the road.
I look at it. Captaincy in the National Hockey League means something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It does.
Yeah.
I mean, that's got a long history to it. Little naive to the idea of the captaincy when it comes to, and the Knicks haven't had it. It's not like they're naming captains every single year. They haven't had one since Lance Thomas, 18-19. But Jalen Brunson, the 36th in franchise history.
And man, what a career he has made of himself. You know, just think about it. When he was in Dallas, there was question marks about him.
Oh, it makes me smile.
You know, when Luka was out, you know, he was productive, but it's like, whoa, what is he?
who
is
he? It's like a warm
he, you know?
Chocolate chip cookie. Huh? I mean, it just puts a smile on your face when you think about Jalen Brunson. That's it. It just does.
Now,
it's like, it's so nice to see a guy come here. He wasn't a superstar here and establish himself as a superstar in New York.
Yeah.
Wasn't the fanfare. People knocked the deal when he initially came here.
Yep.
Said the Knicks are overpaying. Look at what they're trying to do. I was just happy that the Knicks were finally going to have a lead guard.
Exactly.
And have a guy that could run this offense and orchestrate this offense, even though he's not, you know, kind of, he's not John Stockton as your lead guard where he's getting everybody involved, right? He's calling his own number and he's a scoring guard, right? Mm-hmm. He's doing that a lot.
Yeah.
But I was just happy that he was here. And he has ascended now to being a, as you mentioned, finished the top five in the MVP voting.
Yeah.
Changed everything when it comes to this franchise. Remarkably tough young man as well.
Yep.
Lays it on the court, dealing with the pressure. Holds himself accountable, holds his teammates accountable. You know, there's no backstories. There's nothing being leaked out from the Knicks. They're a healthy franchise. For the first time that I could say in quite some time, Otis, as a longtime Knicks fan, the Knicks are as healthy a franchise as I've seen, as I probably have seen since when Riley was running this team.
Yeah, and you look at the people making the decisions. You have confidence in that. You know what I mean? And that's a far cry from years prior to this. They're bringing in guys. Again, the Nova connection, you know, Mikal Bridges, I think that's going to be a great addition to this basketball team because he's a 3-and-D type guy, offensive threat that doesn't have to be the number one option. That's up to Brunson and Randle. And speaking of Julius Randle, my question to you, how does this captaincy for Jalen Brunson affect him? How does he come to camp? Remember, again, this is his sixth year with the team. He was the first to come in.
Due for a contract extension himself.
Exactly. So how does that affect him?
I would say that Julius will use his motivation.
Okay. He's a professional.
I've been a Julius supporter.
Me too.
I think a lot of people like to point out what he is not instead of accentuating what he is.
Mm-hmm.
And I get what, you know, you look at times the turnovers. I understand that maybe he's a guy that is easily guardable come playoff time.
Mm-hmm.
He's not been healthy last two playoffs. Last year he missed it, was not healthy when he returned to Miami. I understand his defense at the time. But he came back. He wasn't 100% healthy.
Right.
But he wanted to be there for the team. Did it help? No, it did not help. It hurt the team. But I think Randle, there is an inherent trust that Thibodeau has in Julius Randle as a player. He doesn't believe in load management. He's not tapping out. He wants to go out there. He wants to play. He wants to lay it on the line. All of those things. Now, he can be a little ornery.
Mm-hmm.
He can be a little less likable. All those things come along with it. What do I think this will do? I would imagine that Julius Randle, wherever he might be, I would imagine that Julius Randle looks at this as motivation to go out there and prove the people that are questioning whether or not he should still be here wrong.
Yeah, I've been a Julius Randle fan since he was with the Texas Titans. That was during AAU. Before he went to Kentucky. So I've been a fan of his. I believe that he does. He lays it out on the line. He is a confident player. I believe that he's a team player as well. Yeah, some guys want that, you know, as far as like the me, and to get to the NBA, I think you have to have some of that in you, a lot of it for some players. But I think that the overwhelming thing is that he is, or the overriding thing is that he's a team player. He looks at his place on this team. He looks at a potential Eastern Conference championship team vying for an NBA final, and I think he wants to be a part of it. Does it sting a little bit? Yeah, because he was the first guy in here, and he's proven it. All NBA, All-Star, and all those sort of things, and he hasn't gotten a contract. He's not the captain. So I think he will use that as more wood for the fire.
Yeah, and the Knicks have had themselves quit the offseason. Bridges, they get Thibodeau's contract extension done, Brunson's contract extension done. They named Brunson the captain, and now you come into this season with... Yeah, now it would be a failure if they don't make it to, say, the Eastern Conference Finals. Now you're looking at not a matter of just making the playoffs, not a matter of just winning a round. Now it's a matter of getting to the playoffs, being healthy as you possibly can. OG Anunoby obviously back.
Yep.
You know, and getting yourself to the Eastern Conference Final and being a supreme threat to the Boston Celtics, which I think is all on the table. And I got to be honest with you, Otis, it's been a while since I've been able to say that. Like, it has been a long, long time. Like, it is refreshing to sit here on an August Wednesday, even though I have an issue with the Knicks naming Brunson the captain to an extent. that is a far cry to other issues I've had with the Knicks over the years with how the organization is run. They're well run.
Yep.
They're good. They're exciting. They play a great brand of basketball. They get New York City. The Knicks are the city's team.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to deal with the annoyance of the Brooklyn Nets and Kevin Durant and Harden and Kyrie Irving. And the Knicks are going to lay it on the line each and every night. That's what you love, and they have a legit title chance.
They certainly do. And think about it. I mean, they were so depleted injury wise in the playoffs last year. They could have given healthy. They could have given the Boston Celtics a run in the Eastern Conference Final last year. So
if healthy, they would have beaten Indiana.
Yeah,
if they had OG,
that's what I'm saying.
Yes, 100%.
I believe they would have put up a really good fight against the Boston Celtics in the Eastern Conference Final. Whether they win or lose, I'm not exactly sure. But with the additions that they've made now and another year under those guys' belt. And one thing that I'm big on is depth, right? So a lot of those guys that were getting major minutes last year are going to be on the bench, and they're going to be able to provide that depth. As far as the season goes, they've had success in this program, and they'll be able to help in the long run.
Yeah, a lot to like with the Knicks.
Yeah.
Brunson, congratulations. Even though I don't love it,
36. El Capitan.
Yeah. I didn't necessarily think that I needed to see a Knick captain be made. Just go out there and win basketball games.
Exactly.
All right, that's it. Let's head out to BetPage. It's Tom. It's the fan. What's going on, Tom?
What's going on, boys? How are you?
Doing well, Tommy. Good. How are you?
I'm a Celtics fan living in New York.
God bless you.
I can't. How are you guys really serious? They thinking that the Knicks are going to take this from Boston next year?
I think they got a chance. I never said. Hold on a second. Number one, Otis or myself never said they're taking down the Celtics. They said talked about getting to the Eastern Conference Finals, where you hope they can test the Celtics. That's it.
Do you really think that they're deep enough? Do you think their bench has enough?
Do they have?
Let me ask you.
Do they have enough? Do they have enough wing defenders when you're looking at OG Anunoby? When you're looking at Mikal Bridges to be able to deal with Brown and Tatum? Yeah.
I don't think they're going to be able to shut them down. These guys are deadly, and if you're going to play them out, they're going to pump inside. I can't see it happening. I don't think the Knicks are going to be more than a 3 seed in this division.
Well, Tom, but we're having the conversation.
Yeah. And once you get to
the conversation, and we're a far cry away. Listen, as a Celtic fan, Tom, living out there in Bethpage, Long Island, yeah, I'd be proud as a peacock, and I'd be ecstatic about my team.
Yeah.
They just won an NBA title. You've got an unbelievable duo in Tatum and Brown, and you'd feel ultra confident, and you're listening to two guys talk about the Knicks on the radio and say, what are you guys? What are you guys doing? Are you delusional? Knicks are not taking down the Celtics? No doubt.
Yeah.
Boston's going to be the favorite for all those that go out there and say Boston wasn't dominant this year, and that's nonsense. Look at their win-loss percentage in the regular season, and look at their win-loss percentage in the NBA playoffs. They were dominant. They were absolutely great. The question is, are they going to come down with the same hunger, same drive this year after winning an NBA title that they had when they were starving, looking for that relevancy, looking for that NBA championship? And the Knicks are a better basketball team now than they were last year.
Yeah.
Bridges is going to help. Now people are going to look at it and say, well, he's never been an all-star. It doesn't matter. He fits the Knicks to an absolute T about what this team is all about.
Definitely. Definitely. I mean, the Celtics will have Porzingis, I guess, for a whole year next year.
I love
Drew Holiday. They're really good for a reason. I mean, no one said that the Knicks are going to beat them, but they're in a conversation. They are.
It's good to see Tatum playing for Team USA as well.
Yeah. I thought Brown should have been there too, though.
Steve Kerr would have no idea what to do.
That was kind of interesting, though.
Too many guys. I can't play them all.
Exactly. But I believe that, you know, the Knicks are a viable contender. I think the additions that they've made, having OG Anunoby back for a full season now, you know, because you saw the impact that he had when he came over from Toronto, you know, I just believe that they have enough to challenge the mighty Celtics.
It's good to be a Knick fan.
It's a great time, right?
No doubt.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
21 of the last 22 times they scored. Here's Sims to throw in third down. Up the middle, touchdown, Bavaro. Mark Mark Bavaro goes to one knee, genuflects in prayer as a 13-yard throw over the middle answers the prayer for the Giants fans.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
Ah, it's a Jersey Mike's. Just took my son Paul to Jersey Mike's the other day. Beautiful, love it. Yeah. Oh, with the old school Italian.
Ooh, I like the number 8.
Is that the hot sandwich?
No, it's a cold sandwich, yeah.
I think that's the same thing.
It's got like ham.
Yeah,
I love the number 8.
Yeah, the original Italian.
I know it by number.
Delicious. You got to get it Mike's way. Yankees box office blitz. We've got a pair of field level tickets. See the Bronx Bombers against Texas at Yankee Stadium Sunday, August 11th. Right now, we'll take the, what color you want, Huff? Low is good? Low. Dove, what color? Come on, Dove.
66.
No.
Oh, my goodness.
No, that was Dove. That was not me. We'll take the fifth call. Make it easy on Huff. There's kids out there. Got to entertain. Produce. He's got all going on today. 866-540-WFAN, 866-540-9326. For your chance to win, it's all from Jersey Mike's, the official sub sandwich shop of the New York Yankees box office blitz. And, of course, the Fan. Listen again tomorrow for another chance to win. By the way, Hoff, your son is like a spitting image of you. It's like you shrunk down.
I feel bad for him if that's the case.
No, you're a good-looking man. I told him that. I'm like, hey, you look just like you're... You look like no response. He was playing Roblox. He's focused.
I mean, that's what he does. That's what they do.
I understand, but he looks exactly like you. Well, it makes sense. You're his dad, right? I mean, to an extent. Bergen County, we go. It's John. What's going on, John?
Hey, how are you guys? Love the show, man.
Thank you, John. Thank you. I'm here to talk about, buddy.
Yeah, of course. I'm here to talk about why the Knicks can beat the Celtics. The Celtics are a finesse team, and they want to go around you. They don't want to punch you in the mouth. Now, us Knicks, man, they forget how dangerous and scary we are. Everyone forgets about Jules. I feel like still everyone forgets about OG, too. They'll get in your face. They want to run through you. We're a defensive team. The Celtics are finesse. They just want to wrap around us. They don't do no pick and rolls. They ISO game all the time. Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown. I think Drew is a good addition for them this year. Definitely, we can see why that is a big deal. But our wings, like you guys were mentioning earlier, we can beat this team. In a 7-game series, I truly think we are the better team.
I don't know about better. Better's to me a little bit strong. I have the utmost respect for Boston. I think you saw a lot of growth. I think your last point on Holiday is dead on. Look at the defensive breakdowns of the Milwaukee Bucks without Holiday, as compared to what they were defensively with. Now the coaching has also changed. I don't necessarily look at Doc Rivers as being the finishing piece to try and win an NBA championship. The only title he's ever won, he had Kevin Garnett, Paul Pierce, and Ray Allen up there in Boston.
And Rondo,
right. Yeah. Let's not forget about Rajon.
Yeah.
Even though he was a pain in the rear end, he was an unbelievable guard at that point in time.
Coach on the court.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I don't know if I necessarily say the Knicks are better. I think the Knicks are part of the conversation.
Yeah.
So we've taken two extremes. We've had the Celtic fan call up and say there's no way the Knicks are beating them, and then we've had a Knicks fan call up and say they're better than Boston. Here's the deal that's refreshing. The Knicks are part of the conversation, and that's what you want. The Knicks are one of the top three teams in the Eastern Conference when you open up the season. Health is always imperative. OG Anunoby's got to stay healthy. Julius Randle has got to go out there and stay healthy. Obviously, Jalen Brunson. Those are key guys when you're looking at this team that they have to stay healthy, as does Mitchell Robinson.
Oh, my goodness.
Because he's a guy that he's a terrible offensive player, but he's a remarkable defensive player and a very good rebounder. And he is a threat, block shot threat down low.
And alley-oops on the other end. That's pretty much the extent of his offensive game.
No one's going to confuse him with Akeem.
No, the dream. He's a nightmare instead. I would love to see the matchup with Jalen Brunson and Drew Holiday. Drew Holiday is a great defender, deceptive scorer. You know what I mean? He can get buckets as well. I'd love to see that matchup, and that could be the key to that eventual series if they play against each other. You know, because like you said, those guys, the wing defenders, they can hang with Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. That would be a good matchup, man. I'd love to see that in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Did you see Durant set a new mark? Most points ever,
yep.
Man or woman, Team USA history. We had 11 the other day.
Beat Lisa
yesterday against Brazil.
Yep.
As they ran past Brazil and blew them out of the bill. I get the message we're sending. We're the best basketball team. They're going to take on Serbia again. The games are boring. I mean, they're unwatchable. I mean, they really are.
I think that's what USA
to
Basketball.
The point, I mean, to the point, you don't even get much on NBC. They go in for like 5 seconds and then they're out. They're, no one's watching this. It's a terrible basketball game.
If you tune in early, I mean, you might see USA up 8-4, or the other team may get a little bit of a lead. But yeah, they're going to put. But this is what USA Basketball wanted when they created the Dream Team. They didn't want the collegiate guys going there and running the risk of losing. They wanted to get it all. You know, they wanted like a Scrooge McDuck. They wanted it all, you know.
DuckTales, great.
So those guys, they said the pros can go. 2004 was the only year since 1992 that they haven't won the gold.
Yeah, they said that we're great at basketball.
Yeah, it was created here. No, Dr. James Naismith, yeah, so no, they think no we got to go and dominate.
But it's not entertaining.
Yeah.
Is it entertaining, like, destroying Brazil? They've already beat Serbia twice. They're going to take Serbia again. What's going to change the third time around?
They may not win by 26. They may win by 24.
I mean, what's going to change? I mean, the most entertaining thing about Team USA and USA basketball is they've all moved out of the
Olympic Village.
The Olympic Village. They're staying in some hotel for $15 million.
Yeah.
They couldn't take the cardboard beds anymore.
But like I said, I just think that this is what they wanted. It's not exciting. They want to win the gold, so they send our best out there. LeBron James at 40 years old is leading the charge, as he always does in particular ways. You know what I mean? Dominating the basketball. I mean, Steph Curry's rendered much less than he is as a player.
I don't get into like... good on Kevin Durant being the all-time leading scorer in Team USA history. I don't think it really does all that much for me, like in terms of that. And you know, we're great, and they're expected to be great. Mm-hmm. And the United States team, you know, is great. Outside of whether or not Embiid's playing or Jason Tatum's playing, all this other. I mean, the team is ridiculously talented. Uh-huh. All that being said, but I'll tell you this: if you give me the opportunity to watch a water polo match or the United States men's basketball team play, I'd take the water polo match, because you know what? That's going to be a more competitive watch than the United States men's basketball.
Oh, my gosh.
It is. It just is. And that's not some... It just is a more compelling watch. The United States basketball. Right. I mean, they outscored Brazil. Brazil scored 15 points the other day in the second quarter yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah. But as a basketball fan, I love it. I mean, I love to... I'll watch it. You know what I mean? I won't watch the whole game. Because it is a foregone conclusion that they're going to win just by how many. I'll watch a few minutes of it. I'm not watching the whole game, but water polo?
Yeah.
I'm not sure about water polo.
My youngest son, Gregory, into it.
He's loving it, huh?
No doubt. As we're
and they have to tread water that whole time.
Whole time. It's amazing. I'll never be that physical. I've never been that physically fit in my life.
They are athletes. To be able to tread water for that, man. Come on.
Oh, my God. It's crazy. New York, it's Tommy. It's the family. Let's go to Tom.
Yeah. Hey guys, how you doing?
Good, Tom.
I just want to shift back to baseball real quick, because I'm a longtime Yankee fan. I'm not in panic mode, but I do realize that they need to do something with what teams are doing to Judge, because you have to look towards the playoffs, and everybody's building a game plan. So if I have a second, you don't mind, this is what I was thinking that I think the lineup could or should look like. I think you put Grissom hitting him first. He's a big-time pro at bat. You leave Soto and Judge, and then you put Chisholm four, because Chisholm struggles.
That's close. Oh, my goodness.
I can see where people make the mistake. I'm going to go with JCJ. That's, how about that? So he struggles with curveballs. So to me, if you put him in the four hole, seeing fastballs, because let's be honest, Judge can run. And then you put a Volpe behind him. You put two speed guys in the middle of the lineup. And then you just start stacking the lineup with Wells, six. And then you could put Stanton seven or eight. I mean, think about a pitcher going through that lineup, and all of a sudden they realize they have Stanton hitting in the 8 or 9 hole.
I'm not going to do that to Stanton. I can't drop Giancarlo Stanton to 8 or 9 in the lineup, Tom. I can't do there. And I think we're putting a little bit too much, and thanks a lot for the call, Tom, into what Jazz Chisholm was initially. Listen, do I love when he met with the media first game at Yankee Stadium and he's talking about how motivated he is now because it's a winning team as compared to where he was down in Miami? And, well, I would imagine you'd want to give max effort. You're a professional athlete, regardless of what's going on around you. Now, the White Sox might be a different point, given how bad they are and how dreadful they are, Otis, but they are historically bad. But I didn't necessarily love that, but if you're a Yankee fan, you don't care because he's here. Mm-hmm. He's a very, very talented, athletic, young baseball player that looks rejuvenated here. Now, do I look at Jazz Chisholm as a guy that is going to provide protection for Judge? I do not.
Mm.
I don't think that guy is there.
Mm-hmm.
That's the issue the Yankees are going to have with teams walking Judge, unless you flip-flop Judge and Soto.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, if you continue to have the lineup the way that it is right now, give or take whoever might be hitting leadoff in any given day, I think pitching staffs are still good and teams are going to look at Judge in the same style and fashion until somebody in that lineup proves otherwise.
But
there is not that natural answer in terms of who should hit lead, who should hit cleanup for this team.
And then, like you said earlier, too, I think if they flip-flop, then Juan Soto doesn't get pitches. So,
right.
You know, and as far as Jazz goes, man, I think he provided that instant energy. You know, he gave them a swag right off the bat. First home game, he has on a 314 t-shirt, which is the dimensions to the home run in right field.
Yes.
He's still waiting to hit that one. We're still waiting to see that happen. But I think he infused a lot of energy and just excitement into this team. And no, I don't see him as a protector. But I see a guy that can get on base, that can come up with big plays, and I think he's played a great third base, too.
Oh, he's out of the darkness into the light.
Yeah.
Going from Miami to New York. Even though, who doesn't love South Beach in the winter?
Yeah.
But as far as a baseball team is concerned, they stink.
Right, exactly.
Start some trouble and call the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
Quarter one, Mark Melissa's Otis Livingston with you. 888-808-1019, your number to call. Colin Wyckoff, the Fan. What's going on, Colin?
Hey, Moose, how we doing, Otis? How are you?
All right, how you doing? It has been years since you've called up. What's going on, bro? How are you?
I call all the time. Like, I call Tiki and Evan quite a bit.
Gotcha.
It's funny we're talking to you, Moose. My son just said the other day, my son's 30, you met him. And my son always said how nice you were to him. He said that there was a guy, Zach, there, too, that treated him well.
But
long story short, yeah.
There you go.
You know, my kids are 30 and 25 now, Moose.
Oh,
that means I got old.
I know. Otis was talking about, you know, his kids. He's now granddad two times over.
Yeah.
He was talking about how quickly time goes. I go, Otis, I'm going to start crying before we hit the air.
It's all a blessing.
I was about to start crying, too.
I know. It's sad.
Thinking
life
about
goes
it.
By.
I was always a favorite caller to you, Moose. I always enjoyed calling on your show. But anyways, I'm going to piggyback on that Boston before I get to my point. The Boston Knicks. Knicks are healthy. Boston's healthy. Hypothetical. I get it. Injuries are part of the game. I'll take the Knicks in seven games with Thibodeau.
All right. I mean, I think Boston would be favored in the series.
They would be favored, but they were favored 2 years ago, too, when Miami or Milwaukee knocked them out in the second round.
No, I get it. Well, it was Miami, but they learned from it.
Yeah.
You know, they were rallied, and then all of a sudden didn't, you know, spit the bit in game seven of that series against the Miami Heat. But I think it's a different Boston team. The question is, how do they react after winning the NBA title? Do they react with the same drive and hunger as they had before, or are they a little self-satisfied? That question won't be answered until we get to the regular season, because they're going to tell you all the things you want to hear right now. The Celtics would be favored in the series.
Yeah.
And I think the Knicks are going to be a really, really good, really good regular season team, mm-hmm. difficult team to go up against. Mm-hmm. They're going to lay it on the line. They're going to be a good defensive team, tough, physical, gritty, all of those things. And I think it's a long series against Boston, but I would favor Boston in the series.
Yeah, and the question is, like you said, about how they return coming off that championship. I think back to the Milwaukee Bucks. Remember Giannis, Chris Middleton? They were killing it. And I thought that they would have a couple championships by now, and they have not been back. So there's injuries that come into play. There's just other teams getting stronger, which we believe that the Knicks have gotten stronger. So we'll see if the Boston Celtics come back focused. I think a lot has to be said for getting over that hump, getting that first championship, and now having the thirst or the want to win multiple championships. And they have a team in place that could actually do that. So we'll see who can challenge them.
What else, Colin?
Hey, Moose, let me get to my real point, guys. You know, listen, I'm a big Gleyber Torres fan, but you know what? I know the guy's a free agent. I get it. But I pay full ticket price. I go to work every day. I give 100%. And listen, he's been reprimanded. He said all the right things. But you are not even in a wild card run. You're in a division run. All marbles are on the table. You got to play with your heart and soul every game. And I get it. Listen, I get it. We're going to make excuses or, oh, we got reprimanded. Bring me results, not excuses. That's all I'm going to tell you.
Yeah, Colin, there's nobody that's going to disagree with that statement about playing hard. Mm-hmm. I mean, Otis and I talked about it a little bit earlier on the show. Don't understand what makes Gleyber tick. Mendoza played a role. We know that. We've learned that. You know, when he was the bench coach for Aaron Boone, keeping Gleyber Torres focused. Is he a self-starter? Doesn't seem to be. Is he one of those guys where, you know, to draw a comparison to the NFL draft, where you question the motor?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you do with Gleyber Torres. Now, you're going to gamble on talent. He's a remarkably talented offensive player when he is right. I don't even really have that big of an issue with him saying that he didn't want to play third base. You know why? First off, the most comfortable position he has is second base.
Mm-hmm.
When the Yankees tried to shoehorn him into shortstop and tell everybody that it was a shortstop, he was not productive offensively. The most times he was off, and the greatest asset to Gleyber Torres is what he can provide with the bat. He's never going to be an unbelievable defensive player. So if you're him, contract year, I understand he has a different mindset than Jazz Chisholm. Jazz Chisholm's also coming from a losing situation in Miami, and the Yankees have control of him past this season. Gleyber wants to get paid following this year, whether it be the Yankees or someplace else. Now, he's got to understand the situation that's still in front of him. They can help this team win. And the lackadaisical play or the malaise or the laziness, Otis, needs to come to an end.
It certainly does. And let's go back to the actual play, because he said that he thought it was a home run. That's why he didn't bust it out of the box.
Just run.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think as fans, sometimes we admire or like to see the bat flip or the watching the ball fly out. No. Just bust it down the line. If it's a home run, then you can slow up. But the opportunity to get to second base was imperative there. He ended up getting thrown out at home plate later on in the inning. The thought is that if he had been up that extra base, that wouldn't have come into play. We don't know that. But
well, he would have scored on the Volpe double. He would have scored. But here's the other issue he has. He's not getting any benefit of the doubt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Benefit of the doubt.
It's happened. Yeah, it's happened too many times.
It's happened too many times. So whatever, however way he wants to rationalize it out, nobody's going to believe it. He's going to become arch enemy number one. Yankee fans are going to call this radio station. There'll be columns written. There'll be takes on TV. All the things about Gleyber Torres, because we've seen it before. He got sent to the bench after that Tuesday night out at Citi Field against the Mets. So after that, and really the lackadaisical play we've seen him defensively at second base, because some of those plays, I'm not looking for him to be Joe Morgan at second or Robbie Alomar or
right.
This wonder. I know he's not going to be a great defensive player. Just some of the plays that should be made,
routine,
he does not make.
Exactly.
And that's the frustrating thing when you look at Gleyber, because you say, listen, you're talented enough. Like, that's the thing. I'm sure you've seen it in basketball where you look at guys where you're like, you're really gifted. You're really talented. Like, just push yourself.
Of course.
If you do that, you know what? The world is your oyster.
Like, we're talking about the focus, the attention to detail, to making the routine plays or just the routine passes to a teammate in basketball, go to the basket, all that kind of stuff. It all comes into play, and it's all about focus. It's all about dedication and commitment.
By the way, my son Jackson texted me after we had a little conversation about motivation. He says, I don't want to quit hockey. I never said that.
Oh, no.
I feel bad now. Aww. I never said we're going to quit hockey. I just talked about the pep talk.
Exactly.
The drive to nowhere land in upstate New York, where I watch you skate around like a figure skater. Not knocking figure skating, but we're playing hockey.
No. There's a difference.
Don't skate around in circles. Skate toward the puck.
Exactly. Put the puck on the net.
Get in the action.
Light the lamp.
12:54, Melusis Livingston with you on a Wednesday midday, in for BT and Sal right here, the Fan in New York. South Beach in the winter.
Yeah.
But as far as a baseball team is concerned, they stink.
Right, exactly.
Start some trouble and call the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
Quarter one, Mark Melusis, Otis Livingston with you. 888-808-1019, your number to call. Colin Wyckoff, the Fan. What's going on, Colin?
Hey, Moose, how we doing? Otis, how are you?
All Colin, right, how you doing? It has been years since you've called up. What's going on, bro? How are you?
I call all the time. Like, I call Tiki and Evan quite a bit.
Gotcha.
It's funny we're talking to you, Moose. My son just said the other day, my son's 30, you met him. And my son always said how nice you were to him. He said that there was a guy, Zach, there too, that treated him well.
But long
story short, yeah.
There you go.
You know, my kids are 30 and 25 now, Moose. Oh, that means I got old.
I know. Otis was talking about, you know, his kids. He's now granddad two times over.
Yeah.
And so he was talking about how quickly time goes. I go, Otis, I'm going to start crying before we hit the air.
All a blessing.
I was about to start crying, too.
I know. It's sad.
Thinking
life
about
goes
it.
By.
I was always a favorite caller to you, Moose. I always enjoyed calling on your show. But anyways, I'm going to piggyback on that Boston before I get to my point. The Boston Knicks. Knicks are healthy. Boston's healthy. Hypothetical. I get it. Injuries are part of the game. I'll take the Knicks in seven games at Thibodeau.
All right. I mean, I think Boston would be favored in the series.
They would be favored, but they were favored 2 years ago, too, when Miami or Milwaukee knocked them out in the second round.
No, I get it. Well, it was Miami, but they learned from it.
Yeah.
You know, they were rallied, and then all of a sudden didn't, you know, spit the bit in game seven of that series against the Miami Heat. But I think it's a different Boston team. The question is, how do they react after winning the NBA title? Do they react with the same drive and hunger as they had before, or are they a little self-satisfied? That question won't be answered until we get to the regular season, because they're going to tell you all the things you want to hear right now. The Celtics would be favored in the series.
Yeah.
And I think the Knicks are going to be a really, really good, really good regular season team, mm-hmm. difficult team to go up against. Mm-hmm. They're going to lay it on the line. They're going to be a good defensive team, tough, physical, gritty, all of those things. And I think it's a long series against Boston, but I would favor Boston in the series.
Yeah, and the question is, like you said, about how they return coming off that championship. I think back to the Milwaukee Bucks. Remember Giannis, Chris Middleton? They were killing it. And I thought that they would have a couple championships by now, and they have not been back. So there's injuries that come into play. There's just other teams getting stronger, which we believe that the Knicks have gotten stronger. So we'll see if the Boston Celtics come back focused. I think a lot has to be said for getting over that hump, getting that first championship, and now having the thirst or the want to win multiple championships. And they have a team in place that could actually do that. So we'll see who can challenge them.
What else, Colin?
Hey, Moose, let me get to my real point, guys. You know, listen, I'm a big Gleyber Torres fan, but you know what? I know the guy's a free agent. I get it. But I pay full ticket price. I go to work every day. I give 100%. Listen, he's been reprimanded. He said all the right things. But you are not even in a wild card run. You're in a division run. All marbles are on the table. You got to play with your heart and soul every game. And I get it. We're going to make excuses or he got reprimanded. Bring me results, not excuses. That's all I'm going to tell you.
Yeah, Colin, there's nobody that's going to disagree with that statement about playing hard. Mm-hmm. I mean, Otis and I talked about it a little bit earlier on the show. Don't understand what makes Gleyber tick. Mendoza played a role. We know that. We've learned that. You know, when he was the bench coach for Aaron Boone, keeping Gleyber Torres focused. Is he a self-starter? Doesn't seem to be. Is he one of those guys where, you know, to draw a comparison to the NFL draft, where you question the motor?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, you do with Gleyber Torres. Now, you're going to gamble on talent. He's a remarkably talented offensive player when he is right. I don't even really have that big of an issue with him saying that he didn't want to play third base. You know why? First off, the most comfortable position he has is second base.
Mm-hmm.
When the Yankees tried to shoehorn him into shortstop and tell everybody there was a shortstop, he was not productive offensively. The most times he was off, and the greatest asset to Gleyber Torres is what he can provide with the bat. He's never going to be an unbelievable defensive player. So if you're him, contract year, I understand he has a different mindset than Jazz Chisholm. Jazz Chisholm's also coming from a losing situation in Miami, and the Yankees have control of him past this season. Gleyber wants to get paid following this year, whether it be the Yankees or someplace else. Now, he's got to understand the situation that's still in front of him. They can help this team win, and the lackadaisical play or the malaise or the laziness, Otis, needs to come to an end.
It certainly does. But let's go back to the actual play, because he said that he thought it was a home run. That's why he didn't bust it out of the box.
Just run.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think as fans, sometimes we admire or like to see the bat flip or the watching the ball fly out. No. Just bust it down the line. If it's a home run, then you can slow up. But the opportunity to get to second base was imperative there. He ended up getting thrown out at home plate later on in the inning. The thought is that if he had been up that extra base, that wouldn't have come into play. We don't know that. But
well, he would have scored on the Volpe double. He would have scored. But here's the other issue he has. He's not getting any benefit of the doubt. Yeah. Benefit of the doubt.
It's happened. Yeah, it's happened too many times.
It's happened too many times. So whatever, however way he wants to rationalize it out, nobody's going to believe it. He's going to become arch enemy number one. Yankee fans are going to call this radio station. There'll be columns written. There'll be takes on TV. All the things about Gleyber Torres, because we've seen it before. He got sent to the bench after that Tuesday night out at Citi Field against the Mets. So after that, and really the lackadaisical play we've seen him defensively at second base, because some of those plays, I'm not looking for him to be Joe Morgan at second or Robbie Alomar or this wonder. I know he's not going to be a great defensive player. Just some of the plays that should be made,
routine,
he does not make.
Exactly.
And that's the frustrating thing when you look at Gleyber, because you say, listen, you're talented enough. Like, that's the thing. I'm sure you've seen it in basketball where you look at guys where you're like, you're really gifted. You're really talented. Like, just push yourself.
Of course.
If you do that, you know what? The world is your oyster.
Like, we're talking about the focus, the attention to detail, to making the routine plays or just the routine passes to a teammate in basketball, go to the basket, all that kind of stuff. It all comes into play, and it's all about focus. It's all about dedication and commitment.
By the way, my son Jackson texted me after we had a little conversation about motivation. He says, I don't want to quit hockey. I never said that.
Oh, no.
I feel bad now. Oh. I never said we're going to quit hockey. I just talked about the pep talk.
Exactly.
The drive to nowhere land in upstate New York, where I watch you skate around like a figure skater. Not knocking figure skate, but we're playing hockey.
No. There's a difference.
Don't skate around in circles. Skate toward the puck.
Exactly. Put the puck on the net.
Get in the action.
Light the lamp.
12:54. Melusis Livingston with you on a Wednesday midday. In for BT and Sal right here, the Fan in New York.